Over, District 6.
Here.
Vern Halter, District 7.
Here.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. This is a special meeting, and Assemblymember Arvin, was he online?
No, he was not.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be, though.
Okay, I didn't hear you. Oh, I've got power. Thank you. So, is there any discussion on the agenda? We have item A, the economic report by Mr. Freed, and then the budget. If there's no objection, that'll be the orders of the day. And we will rise, and I'll ask, we will give Mr. Freed the opportunity to put another statistic in his armament, that of leading the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, the floor is yours, Mr. Freed. Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Oh, it's working now? Yeah, it's lit up. Okay. And I'll move really quickly. I know you folks have a lot more important things to do than to listen to the latest numbers we have on the Matsu Borough. And I think you've the latest article we wrote, I think you have in front of you. And please just stop me if you have questions, comments, or anything. I'm going to move through this more quickly than I normally would. This is that slide that anyone who's seen me present before. It's just your long-term growth, and I just add the most recent year to the Valley's employment growth, and you can see we added another year of growth for the Valley, and that's been going on for a very, very long time, basically since the late 80s after the Great Crash. And, you know, a lot of people, I think this next slide really sort of makes the point why it's, especially compared to what's happening to the rest of the country. I just really wanted to show this slide more for humor than anything, although it is important. This is what sort of sets us apart from the rest of the country. Is the rest of the country's labor market, job market, economy is still under the water. Even though things are recovering nicely, there's still very few states that have more jobs today than they just had, you know, in 2007, which was a long time ago. So I think the job market is a better descriptor of being underwater. Underwater is a better descriptor of the labor market than the American real estate market. But I just wanted to show this to you because, you know, I've been sick and tired of seeing North Dakota being number one. And I just wanted you to notice that Matsu is number one here. And you are as big as West Virginia. So if you were a state, you'd be the fastest growing state in the country. Or you'd have more jobs compared to any other place in the country. That made me feel really good. Let's go to the next slide. This is the growth for last year. You can see you grew by 3%. You're just growing, growing, growing. Last year was a pretty good year. You know, unlike the rest of the state, you know, our growth ended in 2009 for a very short period of time. We started growing again in 2010. And we had record employment in 2010 statewide, but the Valley never even went through that. You just kept on growing. Very different than even the state, or different, not very, but and very different than the rest of the country. This is where the growth came from last year in the Matsu Valley. Government's number one, but government is the single largest employer. That's mostly local, mostly school district. School district is your largest employer. And as a percent basis, it did not grow as nearly as fast as healthcare or construction. But you can see almost every sector grew in the Matsu Valley last year. The only one that didn't is leisure and hospitality, and I'm still not quite sure why that is. That's your hotels, entertainment, and restaurant and bars. I really don't know what happened there. That's kind of unusual. It didn't happen statewide. But overall growth looked pretty good. It's fish. So the last visitor season. So that's what happened last year, just employment-wise in the Matsu Valley. This is just a more of a long-term view of growth in the Matsu Valley over the last 10 years. You know, I think sometimes it's better to look at what's happened in the longer term than what just happened last year, because you can get all kinds of noise in the numbers. And it's just, it's pretty impressive, and it's very broad-based. On the right are the absolute numbers. In other words, in retail trade, it grew by 1,000 during that period of time, or it grew as a percentage basis by 40%. Or government grew by 39%, by 1,300, or construction grew by 181, or 13%. So that's just sort of what the longer-term numbers, very balanced, broad sort of growth that has taken place here in the Matsu Valley. I think I've pointed this out before, one of the really sort of the juxtaposition with Anchorage is on retail. During the same period of time, retail did not grow at all in Anchorage, zero, even with the new Tucotna Center. I suspect you folks are somewhat responsible for that. Yes?
The social assistance doesn't overlap with government on that graph?
I suspect a lot of the money that supports social assistance is almost all nonprofit organizations. So, you know, in a sense, yes, but not as far as employees go. They would not be considered public sector employees. It's basically the same as social services. It's sort of a new term that's being used. This here is just real quickly where the jobs physically are in the Matsu Valley. It changes a little bit every year, but doesn't over the long term it changes a lot. All this is saying is, for example, 11% of the jobs that exist in the Matsu Valley are in healthcare, or 9% of the folks that have jobs here work for themselves. These are the jobs that physically exist here in the Matsu Valley. Any questions about that? It to some extent describes your economy, but only to some extent. Yes?
Yeah. Where does farming fit in there, and when do you start measuring it?
I will capture farming in on entrepreneurs for the self-employed. This here is where the average earnings are. It's just total payroll divided by total number of jobs, just to give you some idea of how paychecks look different depending on what industry it is and how large that industry is in a particular region. Just a very crude kind of statistic, but you know, it does tell you something about what the contribution is of an industry as far as jobs and payroll and earnings and wages are. Again, this doesn't change very much year to year.
Neil, with the Anchorage average and the Matsu average, is there anything in your statistics that show that if this specific job, say in retail, pays $10 in Anchorage,
right,
it normally pays $9 in Matsu, is there any type of correlation like that?
No. I mean, I when we look at the industries themselves, there generally is not that much difference. The biggest explainer for this difference is the mixture of jobs that exist. I'm sure there are some differences because you can attract a worker doing the same thing in the Valley as in Anchorage because it costs something to go to Anchorage. But it's much more subtle than anything like this. Yes?
Neil, a quick question on your category. So in construction, for instance, that would include professional engineers, and healthcare and social services would include physicians and nurses, or no? Those would be professional?
No. Well, healthcare would include nurses, but in construction, it's whatever that construction company is employing. There may be a few construction companies that have engineers. It's certainly the accountants that might work for a construction company. It's the people that work in the office along with their workforce. Now, I have to say that there are a significant number of construction workers, particularly when we're looking at residential construction, which is a big industry in this town, where a lot of those folks would be under the self-employed category. So this is just people that are getting a paycheck. Yes?
Turn on your mic.
That's a good question. I don't know, but generally speaking, our wages have continued to increase, whereas the countries have not. So my guess is that we did experience an increase, but I can't answer that question off the top of the head, although I have the data to do it. But the delta is on wages has looked pretty good in recent years. This here is a slide that many of you watch. This just is a representation of where Mat-Su residents work. This excludes the military, the uniformed military, because we don't know, because we don't get that information. And strangely enough, we don't know from the federal government, even though they pay us to collect this data, and the self-employed. So this gives you an idea of most jobs are. I think the real dynamic here is what happened on the North Slope. We've seen that piece of the pie. The last time I think I created this, it was 6%. The North Slope is growing. There's been a lot of activity on the slope. Oil industry is growing. And you can really see the benefit to the valley.
So if you don't know where the military live, where do you count them?
Our military count is separate. It's kind of where they're based. So Anchorage is getting, when it comes to population, Anchorage is when I look at the military population, Anchorage is getting all those numbers. Now, when the census is looking at population, they will count. If you're a military and you live here, you will be counted here. So in the population statistics, the military will be counted here if they're living here. This here, people wonder, especially when gasoline, the first time this came up was really in 2008 when gasoline prices really shot up. People are wondering, is that affecting commuting patterns in the Mat-Su Valley? And I'm sure commuting does affect, gasoline prices does affect commuting patterns, but the numbers, it's too subtle to know. It doesn't look like it has much impact at all. It stayed at about 55-56% for a very long time. The number of the residents that are working here in the Mat-Su Valley. Of course, the balance, in other words, that would mean that 30-45% are working somewhere else, and that's been a pretty stable number. This here is just sort of an interesting slide. It's sort of a new one, looking at not only non-residents, but non-local residents, and this is based on dividends, permanent fund dividends. You can see the valley residency is very high for jobs that physically exist in the valley, higher than most places. You do have that dark blue one, are local non-residents. My guess is most of those folks are from Anchorage, and then you have fewer non-residents in the valley than in most places in the state.
Assemblymember Arvin, was that you on board?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Very good.
This here is just sales, and you may have seen these numbers. What surprises me as an outsider looking in on these numbers, I was amazed how strong sales in the Mat-Su Valley stayed during the whole national recession. They did peak in 2007, like so much other stuff in real estate did, all over the state, including all over the country, obviously. But it stayed fairly strong, which was kind of surprising, because sales in Fairbanks, sales in Anchorage, sales elsewhere in the state declined significantly more during that period of time. This, of course, is the story you are, I'm sure, all aware of. What did decline dramatically, like everywhere else, was new housing permit or new housing activity. That dropped off very significantly. And it's kind of strange. For an economist, it's kind of hard to understand. It shows you how important psychology is, I guess, because the fundamentals in your economy remained pretty healthy during this whole time, but there was a much less demand for new homes during that 4 or 5 year period. You can see it's beginning to pick up. My guess is, we don't have 2012 numbers yet, but my guess is they will look better. They popped up even more in 2012, like they did in most places. This is, to me, just an amazing slide. All this is saying is basically over a third of the new homes that are built in Alaska are built in the valley. You know, you don't have a third of the population. Your population is 92, 94,000. The total state's population is 720,000, but you're building more than a third of the new homes that are being built statewide. And you know, this is part of that reason. There's lots of reasons, but it is kind of amazing. I didn't realize that sort of proportion until I put that slide together. I mean, that date, and that didn't just change this last year or two. It's been around for a number of years. Here is affordability, and this is one sort of silver lining in the slowdown in the real estate market, especially the slowdown in the cost of homes did slow down or flatten out during a number of years, while wages and earnings continued to increase some. So housing affordability did improve, not only nationwide, but in Alaska and in the Mattsu Valley. All this is saying is it takes 1.39 wage earners and Mattsu wage earners to afford your average mortgage here. It takes less than one Anchorage wage earner to afford the average mortgage in the Mattsu Valley. I think that's the first time it's actually dropped below one. And you can just, you know, just another way of looking at housing. I don't normally spend this much time talking about housing, but housing is very, very important, obviously, in the Valley. Here's population, and this is probably the most important indicator for the Mattsu Valley, but you can see these are just the net gains. In other words, in 2012, you had 2,000 additional residents here that you didn't have the year before. That just represents the annual growth rates. You can see it popped up in 10 and 11, which isn't surprising, given the national recession. Fewer people left Alaska, fewer people, and a few more people came to Alaska, causing that slight bump in population growth. This here is, and I think you've seen this before, it just confounds me. To me, it's amazing. This is, you know, we all know population grows two ways, the number of people that move in versus the number of people move out. That's migration. The other part of population change is births minus deaths or natural increase. This is migrations between 2000 and today in the Valley. In other words, between 2000 and 2012, of the population gains the Valley enjoyed, 25, almost 26,000 of that was through migration. Anchorage actually experienced out-migration during that same period of time. It looks awfully accurate, 246. I wouldn't take that too seriously. This is the other side of that equation, the increase through it, the natural increase, and you can see, you know, without it, Anchorage would not have grown at all. It actually would have declined. We increased significantly there, and the Valley also increased there. But most of your growth came from migration, and you're really the only place in the state where most of your population growth, almost all of it, in fact, came through migration. Statewide, the numbers are also negative. In other words, if we look at the same period of time, you look at the statewide numbers, it's negative for Alaska. And it's not only positive for you, but very positive. This is just the things put in perspective. You now represent a quarter of the Anchorage Mattsu or the South Central's population. Huge change over just since 1990, and those are just projections which probably are conservative. This is your school district. Again, you're in a very different place. Most school districts have been losing students. Then this is just over the last 5 years. And the number of students you gained is equivalent to the Sitka Borough's school district. So you added an entire new school district into this borough, whereas most of the state was actually losing ground. Including Southeast. I'm almost done here. I just want to look at median family income. The Valley looks pretty good. I mean, look at the Valley and you look at the U.S. on average. This doesn't take taxation into account. And, you know, the Valley looks pretty good. This is median family income. And what this means is half the folks' family income is higher than this and half of them income is lower than this. And income in Alaska is pretty good. We have a more equally distributed income in Alaska than in most states in the country. This is this last slide, and I have to add with this, sadly, I just discovered it today, but for some weird reason, the number of pickups dropped. Registered pickups dropped in the Valley in 2012. I actually don't believe this statistic. It's not mine, so I can say that. It's DMV's. I haven't called them to ask them. I think it's weird because it's growing everywhere else. It doesn't make sense to me, but I just got it today. So I didn't want to end on this kind of note. Not that it's necessarily very important at all, because I don't think it is. But that's all I've got to say. I don't know if there are any other questions, but that's all I've got.
Yeah, somebody told me today something I questioned, and that was that our rate of unemployment is worse than the rest of Alaska. Do you have a statistic on that?
Yes, we do. I didn't show, let's see, no, I don't have it here. I don't think it's worse than the rest of Alaska. It's considerably higher than Anchorage. It always has been, but it has narrowed some. And one of the things I attribute that to is since the Mat-Su really draws from the rest of the state as far as jobs go, that the Valley is affected much more seasonally than, for example, Anchorage is. Your labor market's much more seasonal, and therefore that pushes the unemployment rate up. I do not think that the unemployment rate is a very good economic indicator in Alaska in general, and that includes in the Valley. It's not a good reflection on whether an economy is growing or not. But it is higher and always has been in the Valley than in Anchorage.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome to stay around for our own economics if you want to. Mr. Manager, it's your turn.
Good afternoon. Appreciate you coming early so we can kind of talk. And essentially, there's really three things I would like to deal with here today. As the first one, I just want to inform you of our revenue trends that we're seeing for this next budget cycle. We will not be talking about any type of expenditure expectation. We have our departments have all submitted their budget and are getting ready for me to review. But today I'd like to focus on where we are revenue-wise and give you a good picture of that. The second purpose I'd like to do is get direction on assembly goals for 2014, what's the priority. And then a third, and probably most important, is I'm asking direction for you for 2014 budget. Essentially, when you first view it, what do you want to see? And then what's your bottom line? What do you want to see at the end? You know, that may be, A and B might be exactly the same answer, but I would like some clarification for that, because it's certainly the 2014 budget as a 2013 budget, I think, clearly states to the public what is the goals and priorities, the assembly. I think that's your loudest statement on what you value is where you put your money. And I want to make sure that you have the 2014 budget that you want. So I did generically, we had just kind of do some charts. And I have Tammy Clayton here who can answer any details that you may have. But they're on your table. And Vern, did you have a question?
I would like to know the mill rate.
Yes, I can.
2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, the max was red bar.
Okay, I can get you 2012 and 13. Tammy can come to the other ones because it's 9.691. It's been exactly the same for 9.691. For 2012 and 2013. That did not move. And that is incorrect, Nick is saying. Good thing we have the finance director here. Tell us, Tammy, exactly what those numbers are.
The mill rate for fiscal year 13 was 9.691. The mill rate for fiscal year 12 was 10.051, but they gave a rebate, which brought it down to 9. Just a little bit less than 9.681 by about 0.3 mils. because the $3 million increase was for debt in 13.
For death?
I'm sorry.
Oh, debt.
Debt.
Okay.
Debt.
I just wondered who died.
Yep. And so.
So the mill rate was the same in 2012, 2013. It was 82 million.
Turn on your mic, Assembly. We have people online.
We produced 82 million in 2012, and what is it? Under 80 million in 2013. Same mill rate.
That is correct. Actually, the 13 was slightly higher. The mill rate was higher, but then we gave a rebate, so that gave the taxpayers the tax back.
So that's not figured in that red bar.
That is correct. That red bar shows that rebate inside that red bar.
Right. That's at the 10 mills.
So usable money by the borough.
Yes, that we use to drive down the taxes for the year 2012 budget.
Right. And then the mill rates for 2009, 2010, and 2011. And I'll be quiet after that.
Did you say you wanted the mill rate for 09, 10, 11?
Yeah, to go with those bars.
Okay, I don't have, yes, I do have that information with me. Okay. Through the mayor to Assemblymember Halter. Okay, I have 2011 in front of me now. So 2011 was 9.95, 2010 was 9.80, 2009 was 10.326.
Okay, Mr. Manager.
Yes, I just want to kind of give you an overview of where we are on property tax, and that's still a question to be decided later on by the Assembly. If you look at federal and state revenues, we are anticipating a reduction, in fact, a significant reduction. This year, we're expecting $263,000 less, or 8% less, in the PILT. That is payment in lieu of taxes. From our understanding, it's scheduled to go away for the 2015 budget. Also, too, if you remember last year, it was a good year with the state legislature, and they gave us approximately $1.5 million more in revenue sharing at the tail end. We're anticipating to get, from last year to this year, we're considering getting like $1.7 million less. And then also, too, the National Forest. Last year we got approximately $26,000, and that is completely being wiped away. So we're getting hit in those areas. Approximately losing about we're going from $8.5 million in federal and state revenues down to $4 million, and also too the total PILT that we've received this year is $3,289,000, and we're expecting that totally to go away for 2015 budget, which is a concern we're kind of looking out for.
Yes. The mayor,
Assemblymember Colbert.
Well, I'm just looking. You said 1.7 reduction in revenue sharing, and 0.263 million reduction in PILT.
Your mic.
Okay. And then a little bit for the federal forest receipts. That gets me to about $2 million, but the reduction shown on the graph is about $4.25 million. So where's the other $2.25 million? Did you anticipate no PILT?
And what did you say about state revenue sharing?
Well, he had said that they gave us a bump beyond the total appropriation of $60 million statewide, there was a special appropriation, which figured out, the manager said, was a reduction of $1.7 million, and a $263,000 reduction in PILT, and then something on the federal forest wasn't detailed, but that's still right around $2 million. The graph shows a little over $4 million reduction, so I'm looking for approximately where the other $2 million is found.
Mr. Manager.
Yeah, Tammy, can you address that?
We don't have that graph to put on there for the audience, do we? Okay.
Are they on the back table?
Yes.
No? They're on the back table if anybody wants to watch this.
Through the manager to Assemblymember Culver, I'm not certain what that is. I didn't actually prepare these, but I can find that out and let you know.
Okay, well, just to respond briefly, there was concern that the local government was going to lose all the PILT from the federal government this year, but the Sequester Act nipped at 5%, so maybe that was built in earlier that we weren't going to get any of that funds.
I do know for certain that we did originally budget zero. And then I talked to AML, and they actually said that Begich's office is recommending an 8% cut because they think it's going to be above the 5.1%. But then in 15, as Mr. Moosey said, it's going away. It has not been reauthorized.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Manager.
And just as, our anticipating is just, a guesstimate right now. We still don't know what's going to happen with the state of Alaska. You know, we've been told 5%. We're anticipating hearing 8%. So we're just trying to give you a best guess picture we can right now where we're going for this next budget. And if you look at the next page, we also are losing some revenue in our fees. The fee structure, and essentially from our high, we've lost in subdivision revenue has gone from $149,000 annual revenue to $60,000. Our ambulance service over projected revenues, we think from this past year for about $700,000. We are in a mid-buy year. We pay your business license every 2 years, and this is kind of the off year. We do have some coming in, but we don't have the revenue. And then, of course, we had the mandatory land use permit that we have made voluntary, and that is a reduction of $30,000. So we're looking at that. I have asked staff to kind of put together a report or proposal on additional changes to their internal fees, and the only department I have that thinks that makes sense right now is community development, and we'll work with you. Many of these fees have not been increased or looked at. Well, I shouldn't say looked at, but they have not been increased since like 1996, and so that might be an area, or will be an area, we want to look at and make some recommendations to the assembly.
Mr. Manager, does this include dumping fees, animal fees, pools, all the fees that we take in?
Community development has been pretty much dealing with everything other than the dumping fees. And that's something that when it comes to solid waste, we have a plan to generally stair-step up those fees so we can start moving toward black. And pretty much my discussion here today just has to really do with the area-wide fund to kind of give you an overall picture, because that was really impacts our millage rate.
So this is not our dumping fees, which we have been raising.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. The next slide that you have,
Assemblymember Woods. Mr. Manager.
Our next slide is personnel. Personnel is up $2.5 million estimated from 2013 to 14. You know, of course, that that covers cost of living and step increases, but also too, we have had to boost in with the EMS employees and those type of things. That is one area where, you know, based upon staffing levels, that can change. But we want you to kind of be aware of the climbing cost of personnel. And personnel is pretty much about over half our budget. I don't know exact percentage of that, but it's the one that has the largest impact. In many of our departments, that's the majority of their cost comes with the personnel item. And that's something that we will certainly address and keep our eye on, especially when it comes to funding levels and overtime and use of staff to reduce cost or keep them at a minimum.
Could you give us a graph of what our personnel numbers have been? I mean, body counts?
To the mayor, we certainly can. It's also in the budget. Under the summary section, it lists it by department, by fund, and there's probably at least six years history there. So if you wanted more, we can certainly give you that.
Well, that would cover this, because it would be interesting to have that number alongside of this graph.
And just to clarify, this is just not just permanent personnel. This is also temp, on-call responders, election workers, and as the manager said, overtime. It's all included in there.
Mr. Halter.
Would it be possible to get the total projected revenue from all sources for 2014 and then the actual revenue from all sources for 2009, 10, 11, 12, and 13? I mean, we don't have to do it today, but I'd like to see those numbers sometime. To all assembly members.
Yes, we can certainly do that. Now,
I guess it'll come in your document, but maybe I'll get a preview.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Culver.
Thank you. Can staff please explain, if you look at the personnel chart, there's a large increase in personnel costs beginning in 2013. It was fairly flat from 2009 to 2012. Can you explain that increase and how much it is? Looks like about six, seven.
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Culver, I would have to look into that to get you an answer. I know that we had the increases in the responders. We also had six new positions that were added last year, and I'll look at where the levels are, and I can figure it out. 2013 is budget, though, so it doesn't necessarily, where the other ones would be actual. Yes.
Thank you. So we're going to see a graph that tracks the actual and the budget for these years. I think that's what Assemblymember Halter was asking. Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, through the mayor and manager to Ms. Clayton, can we also include overtime so we can see staff utilization? I'm a little bit interested in how much overtime and in what areas, and are we understaffed or overstaffed that's causing additional costs? Thanks.
Mr. Manager.
Yes, and the last slide I have is we had, we're looking upwards about $30,000 in utilities, which isn't much. And also, too, based upon the previous discussion, 9 through 12 are actual numbers, 13 is a budget number, not an actual number or even an estimate number. So what we will do also too is give you where we are and where we project we will be at the end of this budget cycle on 2013. That might be helpful as well to you as you consider. But
so when you're giving us these figures
14, that's what you anticipate bringing forward in your budget, right?
These are our anticipated revenues that we have, you know, and we're not certainly not talking about the our millage. So also too, something that is not on a slide that very much want you to be aware of is we did have some tightening of the revenues and budget for this budget cycle. We're finding out that in the past years we had more of a fund balance left over, and that fund balance is used to carry forward into the next budget year, i.e. kind of offset. And because of the tightening, we're going to have less of that fund balance available going into next year. Just want you to be aware of, right now we're anticipating that to be around $3 million. So we're going to have some quite a bit of discussion moving forward, but I want to kind of give you a picture of where we are revenue-wise, because I know what we charge the taxpayers is very important, and in fact ultimately important to the Assembly.
Assemblymember Halter.
Has there been a significant change in the total appraised value of the properties in the Mat-Su Borough, and can we get a breakdown year by year from up to the present?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Halter, we have still grown, but at a slower rate. For example, last year was 1.7% increase in assessed value. This year, prior to the preliminary roll came out in February, that's what the cards went out, and that was a 2.8% increase. That we're in the appeal period, so that roll will get rerun again the 1st of April, and I anticipate it will be lower than the 2.8%, or could be.
But we could get the total appraised value for the properties from all these years, and we'll kind of guess on this year a little bit, or get pretty close.
Yes, and actually if you want the appraised value, okay,
total,
okay, I can give it to you.
And something else for your list?
Okay.
I would like to see what's happened to our operating budget. It really got my attention last year.
Okay.
But I'd like to see back for the last 5 or 6 years what's been going on there.
Okay,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Assemblymember Colbert.
So, Mr. Manager, to sum it up, do you expect your expenditures to exceed your revenue forecast? We're going to be in budget reduction mode?
Mr. Manager,
you
are going to bring us a balanced budget, aren't you?
I didn't know we couldn't do anything other than balanced budget. Isn't that the law? No, we expect to. And that's what I want to kind of point out, is because some changes have to be made. Some are being done, and some of them are not going to be real fun moving forward. You know, I've spent, the last 5 years in Minnesota, you know, going through budget reductions, that sort of thing. But one thing is that we went through, we understood that with the reduced costs and reduced revenue, it meant we couldn't do normally all the things we wanted to. And so I think that's where the discussion is going to be, is what's our priorities for operation, and what are we going to pay for, and what are we not going to do? And that's where I hope to get input from the Assembly on really prioritizing what we do here and what we give to citizens and services, because I think for a while we've been trying to be all to everyone, and it's come to the point where we have to make some tough decisions and set some priorities. Just, I know you're collecting numbers here. This year's levy, or millage, is 9.691. The school debt that we anticipate for next budget year is going to be 0.041. The road debt is 0.207. So that the school debt is 0.041, road debt 0.207, and that gets us to 9.939. One other thing, certainly appreciate being hosted by the school district and their fine facility. They are our partners, and we absolutely love them. But when we set a flat mill rate, any increased revenue means somebody takes less. In the last year, the borough really took less because more money went to the schools. Not complaining, but there is not an expanding cap when you keep it the same. And so I just want you to kind of be aware on if we keep the millage rate at the same, and you do make some positive action with the schools, it will affect our revenue as well for our 2014 budget.
Assemblymember Halter, then Assemblymember Colbert.
Yeah. I guess my question would probably be for Ms. Clayton again. I guess on the appraised value, so you say it's going to go up 2.8%. How much more revenue, if it is 2.8%, you said it might go down, obviously, but if it is 2.8%, how much more money is that to the borough? Without changing the mill rate?
If we didn't change the mill rate, it would be $1.9
million. Okay. If it goes down, obviously, that number's going down.
Right.
Thanks.
And there's your growth, Mr. Manager, that we have been absorbing. Assemblymember Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, there was one kind of a budget misunderstanding that happened last year with regard to rebate for charter school property taxes. And I would hope to avoid that this year, that we would expect that, and however we phrase that or deal with that, but the budget's the budget, and that should be included in the operation funds. Last year, the borough funded the district operating budget, school district operating, $49,797,786, which was an increase of $1.5 million. There was a substantial increase in fiscal year 10, about a $3.25 million. So it's been growing pretty good last 3 or 4 years. In addition to that nearly $50 million, we picked up $27,650,000 in bond debt that came off the local tax base, which will increase another $1 million this year to $28,967,000. Okay, so we're at about $79 million status quo and picking up the bond debt out of our treasury to fund debt and school operations. And I understand the school board has requested an increase to $52 million for their operating, but I just don't know where we would find another $2 or $3 million. I guess we'll have to wait and see when your projections come forward, but it looks we're already picking up another $1.2 million in bond debt reimbursement costs on the tax base, so it doesn't look real promising as far as having available revenues. But again, let's make sure that we get clear on how that charter school rebate's going to happen so that we don't get in the middle of the year and have to haggle over that again.
Assemblymember Woods. We've got one mic that's not working. I'll repeat it for you.
What was the delinquency rate in our taxes in 2013?
Our tax delinquency rate.
I'm sorry. We don't know for 2013 yet because the fiscal year's not over, so we still got, you know, 3 more months of collections. But for 2012, the fiscal year that ended June 30th, 2012, it was 3.9%.
That's of gross.
That the 3.9% is it, we did not collect 3.9% of the taxes that we levied.
Property taxes.
Yes, okay. Property taxes.
Assemblymember
Culligan.
Yeah, so the mayor, through the manager, the other thing I'd like to see for discussion is this last several months we've had quite a bit of discussion on road service areas, and particularly concerned Seward and Meridian, where the state is wanting us to take over that. And of course, our road service areas are not wanting to take that over or distribute that cost. I've heard talk about a borough-wide road service area or something to handle major roads and arterials, but if we come up with a strategy, and I'd definitely like to address that during the budget and how we clean it. And Seward and Meridian specifically, the DOT is basically refusing to do any more work until we have something in writing, it sounds like, an agreement on taking over that service area. So.
Yeah, Mr. Manager, I thought we resolved that. Do you want to speak to that?
We resolved it, and we are covering the cost. The two RSAs are covering the cost and really actually doing the maintenance. But the original agreement was the state would take that, and we would take back a half dozen similar mile to a dozen similar mile roads back from the state, because they want to get out of these small areas. I think we met our obligation, but not in a spirit that it was intended to. And of course, the Seward Meridian project got put off an extra year, and it may get put off an extra a following year that it really needs to be done, because they want to be able to count on the borough. If you make an agreement with the borough, they want to know we're going to deliver. And so we accomplished what we needed to, but we did not do it in the spirit of the agreement.
So one quick follow-on question. So we are trading, have we identified these roads we're trading then? And are these other, my sense is the road service areas that are getting traded more overhead to, et cetera. But in a couple weeks ago, as DOT has told me that they are not moving forward on Seward Meridian until we have a formal agreement. So I know we resolved it for this year, but.
Well, so Mr. Manager, have we blown this construction season then?
We knew that when we actually came to an agreement with the RSAs that we were going to trade the roads. Uh-huh. And that was pretty much unanimous except for one. And then a month later, that all got unwound. We reported back to the state that we would be responsible for Seward Meridian. And so, we don't have a list of roads for the state to give us. We are not getting support from our RSAs. They feel that it's unfair, primarily that one RSA benefits and then they don't get that benefit and they're penalized for that. And I don't know how to do that when we have the situation where we don't have borough road powers. Not requesting borough road powers, but we do it through RSAs. It's a messy process, and I think the bottom line is the state wants to know that state DOT that we're going to be accountable for the agreements that we make, and I think that's the bottom line. And Seward Meridian did get put off. It was supposed to be planned and under construction for this year, next year, and it's put off. And we don't have an exact date on when it's. They're considering, although I think it's going to be in the short term being the next 3 to 5.
Well, Mr. Manager, this is a little bit distressing. What problem would they have if that those two RSAs were paying for those lane miles? I thought that's what we agreed to.
The state program, and this is going back in history well before before I was around, but to do these projects in boroughs, because Seward Meridian was originally a borough road, always was a borough road. The agreement was, borough, you take some of these smaller roads that you can handle in the RSAs, we'll build up Seward Meridian, and we will take care of that, and we will handle that. Because of that swap, we got much higher points on the rating system, and vaulted the Sewer Meridian project to a fundable level, which if it was just come and do our road, we would have not have been there. So they feel that we game the system by going ahead and saying, we'll make the swap, we got the extra points, it's on their funding criteria. And then all of a sudden, the reason it gives that funding criteria, well, we want to handle it a different way. That's what they're concerned with.
Well, Assemblymember Halt.
Well, I'd still like to see that original agreement, because my understanding, it was an either-or situation. You could either keep that Seward Meridian and borough ownership, which it is, the two richest, largest road service areas, which have million-dollar reserve funds, would maintain it, and that's all the thing what we came. Yes, we could trade them out, but that wasn't totally required. That wasn't mandated. I mean, you had an either-or option. The best option was to allow the two road service areas with the most money, the larger tax bases, to continue maintaining it. And I don't see what the problem is here. And I don't understand what it has to do with the budget right now either. But.
Assemblymember Keough.
Well, I'll second that. We're off the track here. Back to the budget. Two questions. One, am I correct, through the mayor to the finance director, is the anticipated budget request by the school district approximately 3%? Is that right?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Keough, we have not actually received their request yet. Mr. Culver, I believe you may have had some discussions with them, or did you? Sorry.
I think the manager has some insight here.
Yes, I confirmed that their anticipated, not official, but anticipated request is a 3% increase over the 2013 budget.
In that dollar amount, 3% equals?
It would be, through the mayor to Assemblymember Keough, it would be just slightly under $1.5 million.
So you want to hear now what our expectations are, Mr. Manager?
Always, sir. first, if because we have, yes, I think it'd be helpful to say, you know, when we come back and we're going to have, I did the budget process last year where I thought it was going to work great, but my audience did not approve. So I want to make sure you get what you want. But when we first bring in a budget, we're planning on splitting the departments into 2 days, because you did not like the cards of questions on, and you wanted to be able to work directly with our department head. So instead of taking 1 day, we're going to split that into two. But when I bring you back the budget that we're working with, what do you want to first see? What do you want to first view? And then what are you looking for at the bottom line? When you look at the budget and saying going into 2014, this is the most important thing that I want to accomplish, that we need to accomplish here with this budget document. And I'm looking at overall revenues, millage limits or millage rate, projects, because as you can see, and what the point I wanted to make is, we have some revenue losses here. So what's the balance that I have between operations and projects? You know, how much, you know, what services do you want me to kind of look at and examine to see if there's some room for some changes or some reductions? That's generally what I'm looking for today.
So let's, do you want to go first, Assemblymember Halter?
No, I just have
to. Okay. Does anybody want to volunteer or do?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culver.
I don't really feel like I have enough information to just jump out there and say do this, do that, because the revenue, we need an aggregated revenue projection. Obviously, we haven't even accounted for the $20,000 senior exemption increase and inventory tax reduction. From what the sound of it is, that we're going to have substantial revenue adjustment.
We did. They did accommodate that $20,000.
Okay. I think we'll have to look at everything. I guess the the bump in personnel costs is, we need to find out what that was attributed to. Is that overtime? How can we maybe reprogram some personnel costs if that's, if we're running a lot of overtime? I couldn't tell you right now, but I would hope that we wouldn't see an increase in the mill rate except for those voter-approved bonds, and it's going to be the Assembly's job to move around the expenditures to, you know, if you may have to just bring it to us and say, here's what we've got revenue, here's what we've got expenditures, this is a pro forma, not the published one, where do I start? If it's looking that bad, you may need to check in with us before you know, get into there. I couldn't tell you. I don't have enough information, so thank you.
One question you could answer along with his is whether you've built in any revenue sharing in this.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Revenue sharing of $4 million. Last year, we had over $5.7 million, and they already sent us the application for next year, but it was down to $4 million. So a reduction of 1.769.
Okay. I did read that yesterday it was pulled out completely from the oil tax bill. Assemblymember Woods, you're next.
Thank you. I'd like to see the manager add up all the expenses that we have to pay, and then that will give us an idea of what we have left to play with, and to the best of his ability, let's see. Thank you.
That's with all the current employees.
That's to his.
I mean, all he's got to pay is what we ask him to. Assemblymember Colbert.
Just to follow up on that revenue sharing, the way that they amended the Senate Bill 21, the oil production tax, is to remove it from, it was tied to the corporate income tax. That's the way the governor had written it. The latest version has it just coming out of general funds, and I think it's important that we try to get it tied to some funding mechanism, because if there's a huge budget reduction statewide, it'll be like we saw previously. It's one of the first things that hits the cutting room floor. So I think it's imperative for our future budgets that we really talk to our representatives as this thing works through the legislature the next 30 days to get it back into the corporate income tax or whatever mechanism that it's funded, because there's going to be some major reductions. And we're not there at the table like the agencies are defending their turf, and that'll be the first thing that gets reduced, just as it has in the past. So we can talk more about that later under the manager's report on what the strategy is there, but I think that's huge for us. That's going to equal about $1 million.
Assemblymember Salmon, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've been sitting here asking about the current question at hand. What do I see as a mechanism to possibly increase revenue? And much as I'm chagrined to say, I think an increase in the bed tax that would be in relationship to the Anchorage bed tax per se. Minor in its content, but not put upon the burden of we of the MATSU primarily, but rather in the tourism industry of those that come and take part in our beautiful state. And secondly, this is not a one-year fix that's for 2014, but it has to start somewhere, and that would be the continued and ongoing increase in a tax base. Now, if you read the national papers, other states are losing businesses hand over fist due to the taxation they're in, specifically California, Oregon, and possibly Washington. And we, I believe, we have an economic development department that should be working diligently to capture some of those businesses. And I know this will be upsetting to some, but specifically gun manufacturers across the nation are being chagrined and shut out. But other businesses as well, that if we can bring them to the Mat-Su Borough and capture them, with that comes an expanded tax base through the infrastructure that they will build for us, as well as the buildings and the factories, etc., that they will put up on our port district in order to be able to export the products that they do in fact create. So, like I said, that's not going to happen in 2014, but it has to happen sometime. And my suggestion is to get the Economic Development Department hustling some of these, keeping their eyes on these other states that have businesses that are very upset with the taxation in their states and clearly are making it known that they're looking to relocate somewhere. I would like them to relocate to District 5 of the Mat-Su Borough. Thank you.
Very good. So does anybody want to help the manager? Assemblymember Keough.
Well, I'm not offering any help, but I'll toss out a statement here just by my rough math comparing this year's likely budget compared to last year's. Just a swag estimate, we have an $8.4 million difference. This we're anticipating, according to what we have here in the way of charts and graphs, and we have a reduction of $4.3 million from last year in the way of property tax, state and federal revenue shares, and collected fees. That's gone down $4.3 million. And our expenditures that we anticipate, primarily through personnel costs and school district budget increases, is $4.0 million, which is a $8.3 million problem that we didn't have to deal with last year. So if we assume the same mill rate. So that's not a solution to a problem. It's just a worrisome arithmetic.
Thank you. Anybody else? Well, Mr. Manager.
Just based on one comment, so when we bring this back, it was going to be my intention to get as close to the bottom line with our budget and operation right off the bat. However, I'm not hearing any real desire for me to do that upfront work. I can certainly lay out every area and every, I think, budget-saving opportunity and cost-reduction opportunity, but it sounds to me like you want the raw budget coming to you in a request, and then you want to be able to make the changes. Is that a good assumption?
I think that's generally true. The borough, the assembly would rather add than subtract.
Okay. Normally, you're adding, subtracting, or other people's adding, subtracting? When you say add, you mean increase expenditures or decrease expenditures?
Increase expenditures.
Okay.
You know best where to make the cuts. I think what we expect, and my assessment is that last year we deliberately backed ourselves in a corner, and I know we had our finance director in tears, and when we the way we dealt with the revenue sharing, but we intended to lower our ability to spend money this year. That may be at the expense of services, but I would expect you to bring a budget that was flat as far as the mill rate. But I would expect this year that we probably wouldn't do the same thing with the revenue sharing that we did last year to back us down one more notch. I don't know. That's up to the assembly. But I would like to see us start getting into gear on selling land, because that's one reason that land was given to us in the first place. That was intended to be a revenue generator, both at the get-go and through infrastructure development. And I think we need to getting gear on our town sites out there. That one at Point McKenzie should be able to roll over really fast if we work on that. I don't know if there's time to roll that into the budget, but that's where I would look. And I agree with Assemblymember Solomon. Our economic development needs to wind up, and a lot of that's going to depend on what the legislature does to our two major infrastructure projects, the bridge and the rail. So we're somewhat dependent there. Assemblymember Deputy Mayor, do you want to weigh in here before we shut down this special session?
Mr. Mayor, I have nothing to add at this time.
Okay. We're going to give it to audience participation then. Have you got enough guidance, Mr. Manager, to move ahead?
We will find out April 24th.
Okay. Mr. Halter.
I guess, is April 24th the date we'll know exactly what all our revenues are? What date do we know for sure what our revenues are? Seems like it's a little early to be guessing on all this.
We will know before. My intention, let me kind of pull out the schedule. It's in your it's in your packet here. There's that evaluation thing.
That's before.
Yeah. We have, April 25th and April 30th. No, those are the budget hearings. We need to back up here.
We know for sure our revenue.
The two staff meetings we're looking at is, and I don't see them on here.
Does our finance director know?
No.
You must know what when his hard line is.
Yeah.
23rd and the 25th.
Yes, that's it. That's correct. The 23rd and the 25th. But we should have those numbers ahead of time. My intention is to have everything in order so my department heads could brief the assembly on where they are, what they're going to do, and how they're going to accomplish it. So we should have those numbers well before the 23rd and 25th.
Yes, by code we have to present, the manager has to present the assembly and the mayor with a budget on April 16th.
But that'll be, you'll know the number from the state for sure on that date?
The 14th is correct, yeah. Yeah, because they end their legislative session on the 14th.
Mr. Mayor, I think I agreed with Mr. Salmon on, he's talking about increased revenues with bed tax, and I think he forgot to increase revenues with the realtor tax. And same number, please.
It's okay, I'm not buying or selling.
Well, we could follow the example over in Europe and start attaching bank accounts over a certain amount. I'll tell you, there people are going to be thinking different about banks from now on. Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, so just one comment. I think we'll know hopefully some general numbers to answer Mr. Halter's question so that we can proceed. But things like municipal revenue sharing and others are all those are subject to the governor's final vetoes, et cetera. And it could well drift into May and even into June. But hopefully, as soon as the session's over, we'll have an indication so that we can move ahead on some assumptions.
Okay, we'll move into audience participation. There's nobody signed up. If you want to give us some wisdom, we're here to listen. But you need to state your name for the record.
I can go ahead, it's on. Okay, thank you. My name's William Brew. And I would like to see, in an effort to balance the budget, I would like to see the political courage of this organization, of this assembly, to take and rescind or hold in abeyance for the next 5 years the senior tax exemption. I think you got $2 million there easily. We do represent, we seniors, of which if I am one of them, we do represent the most affluent portion of the demographic of this borough. We do it on a nationwide basis. And allowing us to just skate along and not pay our way, I don't think is very fiscally sound, nor is it politically, show any political courage whatsoever at all. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And for you affluent ones, I would remind you that's voluntary. You don't need to. Okay. Is there anybody else? I don't see anybody, so we will adjourn. Oh, do we have comments here?
You do have comments.
Oh, are there any comments from staff, first of all? Any assembly members want to make closing comments? Don't see anybody, so we're going to adjourn, eat supper, and be back here at 6:00.